Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, Ethics, Part 1 of 1.
As always, our content has been crafted by humans and now certified by the Proudly Human Corporation. Questions this cast answers are, why are ethics important? Do the ends justify the means? And what if I get fired for being ethical?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Are you ready to take control of your career growth? Manager Tools trainings give you step-by-step actionable guidance for working more effectively with colleagues, bosses, and your customers. When you build these skills early in your career, you'll set yourself up for bigger opportunities. Learn more by visiting us online today at manager-tools.com/ECC. So, Mark, I'm excited about today's topic, honestly. Ethics is something that we at Manager Tools talk about all the time.
All the time.
And folks, this is one of those re-records. We are re-recording and re-releasing some of the core Career Tools podcasts. This one was recorded and released way back in 2011 originally. And actually, before that, this podcast was actually written for our first Job Fundamentals series.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a resource for those individuals that are just entering the professional world. Every person who's got a Career Tools license has access to this fundamental series of guidance, essentially, that basically gives the basics of the career professional's life, right?
Right.
But then, as it came together, it really became obvious that the material in this cast on ethics is far too essential to reserve it for any single audience. And everyone needs this content. And thus, it became a full-fledged podcast, if you will.
Yeah. The fact is, ethical behavior isn't something you graduate out of. Okay. It underlies every piece of guidance we've ever offered across Manager Tools, Career Tools, and Executive Tools now. It's always been there, running quietly beneath the surface, every recommendation we've ever made. We assumed our listeners felt that, and in fact, many hundreds of you over the years have said, I really like the underlying theme of ethics, that there are some things you simply don't do that are inappropriate, unprofessional, and or unethical. We often get asked, I know you guys say I shouldn't do X, but you're so good at charting out patterns of behavior and so on. Can you please tell me how to do X? And I write back, well, that's unethical. We're not going to tell you how to do something we wouldn't recommend you do. That would be, in our minds, unethical. And our listeners have felt it, and we're happy to re-record it and update it a little bit. But at the same time, we want this cast to go out to everybody because ethics are undeniable, as they should be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we've got a quick three-part outline for today's cast. First, we're going to start by talking about always being ethical. Then our encouragement, if you will, that one ought to get fired for being ethical. And then following that, we're going to talk about how the ends don't justify the means.
Ever. Yeah. So let me start with always be ethical. There are, of course, definitions of ethics enshrined in every legal system and every religion because we have a conscience, and the outflow of a conscience is ethical rules for behavior. We need ethics to help us live together in communities. Trust and ethics are essentially tied up in one another all the time. It's very unhealthy for you to trust an unethical person. What that implies by that statement, which everyone agrees to every time I say it, is yes, that means ethics are an important part of our professional and personal lives. Most of the systems at work as well have similar foundation. Societal systems are essentially built on ethical behavior because societies can't grow, prosper, flourish, and let alone really even function if their citizens are lying to each other, stealing from one another, or cheating one another. And then we're not saying there that doesn't happen. Of course it happens. But what's interesting is the number of times that people, you'll have a conversation with somebody and they'll talk about, well, in fact, this just happened to us with a big company stealing our intellectual property. And you know, they said, we didn't do anything illegal. And I wrote back and said, yes, but you behaved unethically, which is the foundation of
the law.
The law. Exactly.
Absolutely. And many of the folks that are listening to this podcast will know, but maybe not all of them, that the founders of Manager Tools, one of which is Mark and the other is Mike Ozen, carried forward a very simple ethical code, which they learned at West Point. It underpins everything about why Manager Tools does what it does, the way it does it, frankly. And that code is, a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those that do it.
Yeah, beat Navy. Navy. That's the end of the alma mater and the honor code we say at the end of beat Navy.
Mm-hmm. And folks, it's very straightforward. And it's a really good starting point for anybody, really. It's basic. It's easy to understand. It's all the things.
What's funny about it is that ethics and honor codes existed in every tertiary education, higher education, college, university, trade schools. They were a fundamental part. I mean, 100 years ago, everyone took a class on ethics and studied the historical foundations of ethics and what happens to societies who are enshrined with ethical laws versus societies which are not. And, you know, West Point was first, but Navy and Air Force, both the other two major military academies. Actually, there's only one military academy. Then there's an Air Force Academy and a Navy Academy. They have almost the same covering lying, cheating, and stealing, and tolerating. Actually, I think one of them doesn't cover tolerating. It's an important part of who Mike and I are. If I ever get caught lying and my classmates find out, they'll never speak to me again. Mike was actually the deputy honor captain at West Point, which was an incredibly high honor to be the number two person in our class when we were senior cadets, seniors in college, responsible for training on and administering the honor code, which gets cadets kicked out every year.
Yeah. So I guess in a way you could really say that Manager Tools honor code is identical to that of West Point.
It is.
And it covers not lying, not cheating, not stealing, and not tolerating people who do those things. So we're going to break it down for the rest of you and how to think of those objectives, those items in terms of your own organizations, starting with lying. Folks, lying is wrong. Putting aside morality for just a minute here, to tell a lie is inevitably to put your own desires above that of another person's, usually to the detriment of your organization itself. Now, the fact that you work for this organization means that you have struck a bargain with them. That is, you're willing to trade your time, your effort, your best labor for the salary which they will pay you to do those things. So, to do something which is harmful to the organization means you're not delivering on your side of the bargain.
Yeah. And people forget about it all the time, that joining an organization is a private association, and you're essentially accepting their rules and principles and standards and so on. And of course, almost all major corporations have some sort of ethics code, although 99% of people don't know what they are, and they trumpet the fact that they're ethical. But in fact, down at the day-to-day level, the individual-to-individual level, it can at times get pretty unethical. Now look, we make a distinction here, not only for this guidance, but also, it's also true in the West Point Honor Code. We're not talking here about white lies or social niceties. The example is a cadet gets invited to someone's house for dinner, which would be a rarity as a cadet when Mike and I were there. You didn't get to go to people's houses for dinner. You ate every day in the mess hall.
They didn't let you do anything fun there.
Yeah, they didn't. No, there was no fun allowed, as the album cover said. And if you went to dinner at someone's house, and of course you have to be graciously appreciative of the fact that you were invited and had dinner and got to eat a family meal together with other people. And so if, in fact, the hostess, who's not a good cook, or the host, burns the peas and then says, how are the peas? You would say, they were wonderful, ma'am or sir. That is a white lie. It's completely appropriate to not have to tell the truth. You might choose to say, I love them, rather than they were wonderful, because you loving them could mean you love them for the fact that they were prepared by somebody else and served hot in front of you. But the key is, you don't have to tell the truth if it is a trivial matter that is simply going to hurt a person's feelings in a social situation. And that's a slippery slope. And we know that, folks. If you were to say the peas were terrible, just have to be honest with you, that's not honesty, it's bad manners. Please don't take that slippery slope and say, well, that gives me a license. I can drive a truck through that loophole and I can start fibbing about all kinds of things. You can't lie about where you are or what you're doing. If somebody finds you off post and they say, what are you doing? You have to tell the truth. And you can't say, well, I don't want to hurt the person's feelings who's asking me. It's not a blanket coverage for getting away with anything you want. And frankly, I think most people know that. And they also know that there's a gray area, small gray area between ethics and social niceties that you have to be sensitive to.
And I think you bring up a really good point there, Mark. That is a good way to measure whether or not the little white lie you want to tell is acceptable. First, ask yourself, am I saying this for me to avoid embarrassment or truly out of respect for the other individual? Now, again, it's not as concrete as I want it to be. It's still a little bit of a slippery slope. You can still lie to yourself about that question. And if you start lying, that's the fear here. You'll do it more often. So
right.
It's not a black white. It's not necessarily that clear, but be honest.
Well, regarding avoiding embarrassment, I've recently shared this story 3 or 4 times or shared this idea, this principle of the difference between being nice and being kind. Okay. Now, if someone you see, a colleague, has spinach on their teeth, which is sort of a classic example, the nice person says, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Actually, what that person's doing is protecting themselves from having to potentially cause someone some small embarrassment for the benefit of the other person. And they're actually afraid of creating that little bit of embarrassment that they'll be the deliverer of bad news. In fact, our recommendation is not to be nice, but to be kind. And the kind person says, hey, you have some spinach on your teeth. I just want you to know. And I'm doing this for you as I would want it done unto me.
Exactly. Well. Yeah. Everyone says they want people to tell them when they have spinach on their teeth. But it's fewer people who actually do it for others.
Yeah. It's not everyone who says they want people to do it who don't bite their head off when they do it. Right? I mean, people, hey, by the way, you've got a bunch of spelling errors. Why don't you worry about your own stuff? And now you've made it so that person is less likely to do that, at least to you. And that makes for a less ethical workplace. Second item, cheating is wrong. And this is particularly trenchant today because we just had Trevor Woods give an executive speaker series talk here about his company, his new company, Proudly Human, of which he is the CEO. And they talk about the cheating that is endemic at major universities to the point where kids are openly bragging on social media that I cheated with AI throughout my entire college. I didn't earn any of the grades.
Exactly. Didn't write any of my own papers.
Yeah.
And
I think that means a reckoning is coming for tertiary or higher level education. There seems to be a code, and it's bothersome for guys like Mike and I and anybody who's really ethical. There seems to be a code which says it's okay to cheat on your expenses because everyone does it. Well, there's 2 things wrong with that. One, didn't your mother tell you that just because everyone else did it doesn't mean you have to? I think I mentioned that on an executive tools cast I recorded this morning. I said about something we were recording, I used to say to my mom, well, everybody else is doing it. And she looked at me and said, you're not everybody else's kid. And of course, those people who knew my mom, rest in peace, would tell you, oh yeah, that's Gloria. There was no wiggle room on that. The other thing about that though is, since when did you decide your own ethics would be dictated by crowdsourcing? Because if you're sourcing a crowd, a big enough crowd, there are some people that are very unethical in there and they're lowering the standard. Why wouldn't we have high standards on ethics? I remember very clearly a Downton Abbey episode I watched probably 4 or 5 years ago where they had followed the family at Downton Abbey for several years. And by the end of the series, I think this is in the last year of the series, it was the 1920s. And ethics had been gradually eroding in the world. And one of their employees, I think the valet to the head of the household, was brought to trial for something, with some question about whether or not he did it. But it looked like the trial was going poorly. And one of the staff said to the Earl, I think, who the valet worked for, he says, well, you know, the Earl had to testify. And they said, well, you could just lie. No one else knows what was said between you and him. And he turned to him and says, we don't do that. Right?
Yeah.
Who says that anymore? In fact, nowadays in court, there's a principle in jurisprudence in the court system. I think it's fairly true across the Western world, but I know for certain it is in the United States because I've had law firms as clients and I've been to thousands of hours of courtroom stuff. There's a rule called statements against interest. If I'm on the stand and there's an assumption that I'm telling the truth, even though I think the vast majority of people now say, well, they're telling the truth until it hurts them, which of course is a definition of ethics. Can you tell the truth even when it hurts? It's like etiquette. Do you use the right etiquette, the right manners when no one else is around, right? And statements against interest, sadly, are now an additional legal principle which says, if I say something that makes me look bad, the fact that I could be motivated if there's no one else to validate what I'm saying is true or false, that I would normally not say something against my own interest. If I do, that statement is considered to be unusually true or almost unassailable. So part of this cast, I think, is our answer to the gradual declining of ethical standards. I would argue that a politician today could get elected simply by saying, I'm ethical, and then having 1,000 people after him saying, yes, this is the most ethical person I know. He doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't steal. And by the way, that's why, no offense, this is going to sound terrible. That's why he's not a billionaire. You know, that's why he's a frontline manager, but he's 60 years old and he's a frontline manager because he refused to lie, cheat, or steal or put himself in any gray areas. And he was willing to stand up for his own beliefs about ethical behavior. So, folks, to cheat is to cheat, okay? Whether it's the organization that you're cheating out of a few dollars on your expenses or your customers out of the delivery they deserve that you promised them, but you want to go home, it's all cheating, okay? It isn't a matter of degree. And if you can justify cheating on your expenses to yourself, you may find yourself justifying larger scale cheating. And again, we're on a slippery slope.
Absolutely. All right, so the next piece then, stealing is wrong. Folks, I don't feel like I should have to say this, but I think that I still do. Taking things that don't belong to you, whether it's a pencil from the stationery cupboard for your child to draw with at home, or computer systems, or cash, it's all wrong. It's all the same degree of wrong.
It's all the same degree of wrong. That's good. That sounds like a line from a Taylor Swift song.
Doesn't matter why you took it. Doesn't matter if it's just a little small thing. It's not really hurting anybody. Folks, it's hurting you and your credibility and your ability to discern right from wrong in the future and your child whom you stole the pencil for's perception of honesty and truthfulness.
Yep. It all degrades. We all get degraded.
Exactly.
Society is a large interconnected organism. And when one of us does something that's against an ethical standard, the ethical standards of everyone is lowered, whether we realize it or not. And we continue to slip down the slippery slope. Yeah, I remember 10 years ago in the journal, there was an article about how a lot of large companies had finally figured out that their office supplies dwindled precipitously during back to school season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some companies decided that the solution was chastising people, sending out emails, having meetings and saying, you shouldn't do that. It's unethical. You're stealing. Some other companies reminded people about ethics, but they also overstocked on office supplies so people could take some. And they left them and said, please, if your kids need school supplies, that's great. Now, if you're making $200,000 a year and you're stealing school supplies, that's very different from a janitor taking one or two, not only because you should be setting an example, but also because now you're just being avaricious. You're just being greedy, as opposed to someone who may actually have trouble putting their kids in a backpack. Yeah, I think there's actually a charity now that nationwide gives kids backpacks because there are poor kids that don't have backpacks. You tolerate lying, cheating, or stealing. Remember, it's lie, cheaters, will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those do. If you tolerate those behaviors, If you do that, you're having disastrous personal and corporate impact. People are afraid to say things when they see that it's tolerated. They're afraid to say that doesn't make sense, or that cheats our customers and it's wrong. You can't promise something and then not deliver it and then say, well, we promised it knowing no one would know. You just promised. You just made a statement and you then behaved unethically while not supporting it. You can't punish people when they say that's a pyramid scheme, or they won't tell you that anymore. And then suddenly you'll end up with a pyramid scheme in your company and part of your financial department or whatever. It's not enough to be ethical yourself. You have to be willing to stand up for ethics when others are not. And that's what the toleration clause means.
And that kind of goes back in my mind, Mark, to what you said earlier, this idea that people are willing to behave ethically insofar as it's not harmful to them. And the lack of tolerating people doing unethical things around you can be
hard
for you. And if your line of this is where my ethics end is, I won't do those things, but I'm definitely not going to say it if somebody else does, it means your ethics don't run very deep.
Yeah. It means you're not honoring your relationship with your organization.
Yeah, this is the hard part. This is where it gets difficult. So if you're wondering, folks, about an action that you're intending to take, the Honor Code at West Point has three questions to help you discern whether or not you should tolerate this action. So the first question is, does this action attempt to deceive anyone or allow anyone to be deceived? The next, does this action gain or allow gain of a privilege or advantage to which I or someone else would not otherwise be entitled? And then the last one, would I be unsatisfied by the outcome if I were on the receiving end of this action?
You and I were talking about this before we were going to re-record it, and I reminded you of my one brush with the Honor Code at West Point, and I think now is a good time to tell that story. It's somewhat of a long story, but as Kevin Costner said, as the lead role in Field of Dreams, it's a long story, but it's a good story. I was a cadet at West Point, and I was a sophomore. I was in my second year there. And West Point has a very nice auditorium, 4,000 seats. The entire Corps of Cadets can fit in there. We only go there once a year for some big talk from the general or something, but we also had concerts there. And we would be able to buy tickets, and bands that were in New York City who were favorable to West Point and liked America would come and play. And my favorite band when I was growing up was, if it wasn't the Eagles, it was the Beach Boys. And as it happened, the Beach Boys were coming to a concert there. Beach Boys, a big deal in the late 70s, early 80s, not so much now. But at the time, I really wanted to go, but I couldn't because there was a pecking order of who got seats, who could buy tickets, and tickets were sold out by the time I could. But a senior who was in my company had got tickets and then had a chance to go on a date, I think, or a weekend away. And he said, hey, Mark, you're a big fan. Do you want to go to the Beach Boys concert? I said, yes, sir. I'd really like that. So he gave me his ticket. So I went. And I was sitting, and this is a very good seat. It was a senior's seat, and I was a sophomore. I'm sitting, imagine, a standard auditorium with two aisles. So left to right, there are three sections of seats. I'm in the middle section. I'm probably 20 rows away from the stage. There's maybe five rows behind me before there's a crosswalkway cutting the auditorium in half. And I'm sitting two seats from the aisle. The aisle is two seats away on the left. Really, really good. Okay, so before the lights go down, two civilian girls, very obviously not cadets, are sitting in the middle of the row, 10 seats to my right, roughly. And they're sitting there by themselves. The row is starting to fill up. And a first classman who outranks me comes down the aisle and says to the young ladies, I'm sorry, and I could hear it. It wasn't that crowd. It wasn't that loud in the auditorium. Hey, do you have tickets for these seats? And he held out two tickets. And they said, no, we don't. And they pointed to the balcony behind, which is where a civilian would be able to get a ticket, even though I couldn't get any ticket at all as a cadet. And so they said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And the senior classmen sat down in those two seats. And the young ladies walked past me to go to their seats. And I said, you know, ladies, nobody's been sitting here yet. The show hasn't started, but you could sit here next to me. I admit they were cute. But more importantly, they're free seats. If nobody shows up, then it's not a problem, okay? They're not depriving anyone of anything. And I wanted to talk to them. And of course, then I didn't. So they were sitting there talking to each other, one on the aisle and one next to me. They were very thankful. It's great. Okay. The lights go down. The warm-up band, whose name escapes me, plays. And then the lights come up. And now it's intermission and the Beach Boys are going to come on next. During that time, I notice another first classman standing at the far end of our row, you know, 15, 18, 20 seats from me in the aisle going up. And I know he's a first classman by his uniform. We were all in uniform. You could tell a person's rank and class a mile away. And he's talking clearly to the two seniors who were sitting in the middle of our row with very good tickets.
The ones that evicted the girls.
With them, chatting. Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, he starts walking down the row. He has a brief verbal exchange with his two friends, also seniors. And then he walks down the aisle. And now he stands in front of me in a very awkward place because I'm pretty big and there wasn't a lot of room. And he holds out two tickets in front of the girls and says, "Do you have tickets for these seats?" And they said, "No, we don't. We were sitting up the balcony." And I turned to the girls and said, "Sorry, you know, it didn't work out," right? Because they said, "No problem." And they went, I assume they went up to their seats in the balcony because now the place is pretty full. And then he sits down on the aisle and turns to me and says, "Would you hand these two tickets back to my friends in the center of the row?" And I went cold as ice. I thought, now, by the way, the toleration clause at West Point, the way it works is if a person does something against the honor code and I see it, I'm obligated to report it. So much so that if they see that I saw them do this thing and they self-report, they might get kicked out, but they might not because they self-reported. But if they know that I saw it and I don't report it, I can get kicked out. So I'm obligated to report what is perhaps unclear about what actually happened. In my mind, I thought he knew those tickets weren't for those seats. His friends had told them they had just kicked out the girls from the seats and they were supposed to be sitting. The girls pointed out that their seats were in the balcony because they clearly wouldn't have been sitting in the center of the row if they could have had the two seats to my left, right, on the aisle. So I perceived that he had misled them, which was all I needed to think. This is lying. So as the Beach Boys start playing, the worst concert I ever attended in my life, even though I'm a big Beach Boys fan.
Well, because you're just like, it's like so stressed.
I turned to him and I said, "Sir, I think you committed an honor violation." He says, No, I didn't. I said, "Well, okay. Well, there's a process for this." I go and talk to the honor representative in my company. There's a guy named Jack Joseph, still a friend of mine. And he goes and talk to his honor representative. Those honor representatives get together and talk, and they go to the honor committee, and there's some discussion. And usually within a day or two, you get back, "No, it was a misunderstanding. You didn't understand," whatever. Okay. So I'm completely ruined for the entire Beach Boys concert. I go back to my room in the doldrums, so to speak. Jack Joseph happens to be in his room, and he's up. And I say, "Hey, Jack, can we talk?" He says, "Yeah, I have an honor violation to talk to you about." And everything changes. You know, normally we're friends, but now we're not friends. And he says, "Well, tell me about it." And I said, "Okay, here's what happened." I tell the story. He says, "Well, that seems, you know, that has some legs. It's not a clear case of no or yes, but it's definitely not a clear no." And then he asked me who was the cadet. And I gave him the name because we all wear name tags. It was senior cadet, first classman, so-and-so. And he asked me to describe it. What I didn't know was that Jack Joseph, the guy I was doing my duty to, was the deputy cadet in charge of the Catholic Chapel Choir that year. And the person who had done the thing with the tickets that I had just turned in for an honor violation was the cadet in charge of the Catholic Chapel Choir and Jack Joseph's best friend in the entire Corps of Cadets. And Jack was honor-bound, duty-bound, in fact, to action it. This is in March, okay? Graduation is in May, like the last weekend of May, first weekend in June. It's on a Wednesday. So in March, Jack goes and does his thing. He talks to the other honor rep, goes forward. And Jack actually says to me, comes back to me in about a week and said, "There's going to be an honor board." In other words, they believe this situation is worthy of what amounts to a trial. By the way, the trial is not run by Army officers. It's all run by cadets. Mike Ozan, my co-founder and partner here, was one of the guys that ran it our senior year. And I was called to testify. And I told the story. And it actually was very well done. The cadets who were running it were very professional, very respectful. And I just got to tell my story. And some people asked me some questions. I can't remember the details of the questions. I was scared to death. Because, you know, it sounds terrible to say this, but every cadet wants to stay as far away from the honor code as they can, because the penalty for getting caught with the honor code is you're out, full stop, you're out. It has changed a little bit since then. So I think I testified in April, I would guess, early April. And 6 weeks later, I found out that the cadet had been found guilty of honor violation for lying, essentially making a statement with his behavior that
right, I pretending have those were his seats, yeah, when they in fact, yes, were not his seats.
An untrue statement, an untrue implication was attempted. And even if it wasn't attempted, it was clearly inferred by the girls that in fact he had tickets to those seats. And the fact that I handed him back seemed like, you know, the smoking gun to me. But regardless, I was going to let the honor committee. And so he was found guilty of an honor violation in the first 2 weeks of May of his senior year at the academy. And he did not graduate 2 weeks later after 4 years at West Point. I can think of no worse thing that would ever happen to me in my entire life than to go to 4 years of West Point, which was horrible, by the way. There are some people who like it, but it's not likable at all.
To go through all of that horror and then 2 weeks before you graduate, not graduate?
Not graduate for a concert ticket, for a seat. The fact that he was in the building meant he had a ticket to get in. He just didn't like his seats and he wanted a better seat. And he found out right after he finished his senior exams. And he was processed out and didn't graduate with his class. And of course, because West Point is free, they pay you a small stipend while you're there, but it's not really enough to live on because you live in barracks and eat in the mess hall and so on. You have to pay them back. So he was sentenced in what amounted to a court-martial, even though there wasn't a court-martial, to 5 years service as an enlisted man in the United States Army to pay back West Point for his 4 years of education. He didn't get a degree either. The reason I like telling that story, it's about a concert ticket, folks. It's actually not even about a ticket. It's about a seat. It's about whether he liked his seat and whether he could get a better one. To me, that's a perfect example of the slippery slope. Oh, this is not a big deal.
Those weren't their seats either. It is exactly one of those, this is on the slope examples that would cause many people to think that's not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Was to him.
Yeah, it was absolutely to him. Okay, so that kind of closes out our first piece of our outline, which takes me then to the piece on getting fired for being ethical.
Which, by the way, is written the way, we're not suggesting you get fired.
Yeah, that's the desire. The hope here is you never have to be.
Right. But there are reasons worth getting fired for. That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, we don't want you to get fired. We really don't. Getting fired isn't any fun.
I know. It's happened to me.
Yeah, exactly. No, there are folks at Manager Tools who have felt that fear of how am I going to buy groceries for my family? That fear that is caused by your lack of a salary because you got fired and you didn't leave with some sort of structured plan. So there's no next step. It's just now I start looking and no one's paying me for my job search. So folks, to be clear, we wouldn't recommend getting fired to anyone. And yet we would recommend getting fired rather than being unethical. That is how serious we feel about ethics.
Yeah. If you're not willing to stand up and speak out against ethical violations, you're in an unethical organization. And if you're not willing to say, I won't do that, then you're essentially behaving in an unethical way if your ethics are clear in your own mind. And look, one of people's major concerns when they get fired is that they won't get another job. Please don't let that concern convince you to stay in a situation where you are being asked to act unethically. And there are bosses in the world, and it's not 0 or 1%. It's probably 5% of the bosses in the world, even maybe higher, that will essentially ask you or imply to you to behave in an unethical way. I just saw something on Instagram where, let's call him a warehouse worker, was working in a warehouse, shipping some boxes. This is a, I think it's an excerpt from a show. And his boss calls him in and says, hey, look, you've been doing good work here. I want to promote you. Okay. Now he's thrilled. And in fact, you see later him telling his wife, I'm thrilled they're going to give me a promotion. Okay. But the boss goes on to say, now look, when you become a manager, things get harder. Things get grayer. You're not certain about things. Sometimes things are hard to understand, but you have to trust the organization because as a manager, you're part of the leadership of the organization. So we're going to promote you. Congratulations. And I want you to know something. Tomorrow, we're going to have a shipment of 20 boxes come in. Okay. 16 of them are going to go out. 3 of them are going to stay here. And 1 of them, I want you to bring to me, but I want you to say that we shipped it. So you're going to say you shipped 17, but you're only going to ship 16. And the guy says, okay. And he says, why don't you think about it overnight? Come back and talk to me in the morning. He goes home. And of course, his wife is ecstatic that he's got a chance for promotion. But then he says, but here's what they want me to do. And she says, oh dear, you can't do that. They could actually fire you for doing that. He says, I don't know, but we really need the money. And we've talked about this. We want to buy a house and we want to have more kids. And this is a chance. We've always thought that I could be a manager, that I could grow my career and so on. And I'm going to get choked up saying this. It's such a good scene. He goes into the office the next morning. He said, sir, I'd very much like to take your promotion, but I can't do what you're asking me to do. I won't do it. It's wrong, sir. What you're asking me to do is wrong, and I won't be party to something's wrong. And the manager looked at him and said something to the words of, son, you passed the test. You just got promoted. I never want you to do anything like that ever again, ever in your career here. We're honest people, and you are too. Welcome aboard. So he not only didn't get fired, and he didn't lose the promotion, he got rewarded for ethical behavior. And maybe that's because I get a lot of ethical stuff on my Instagram feed, because I like ethical stuff and I don't like unethical stuff. But yeah, that was a good one. Look, when somebody asks you, why did you leave your last job? You're probably wondering, oh, what would you do if you quit because it was unethical? You say, I'm sorry, I refused to act unethically and I was fired. Now, but believe me, if you say that in an interview, somebody's going to say, ooh, please tell me what actually happened. The great thing about this is gossip and the hiring manager will be desperate to ask what happened, even though it really is socially unacceptable for the person in the interview to ask what happened, because you don't want to be seen as throwing your other organization under the bus. So 9 out of 10 times, the interviewer will move on swiftly and it won't be a problem. It will not be a problem. Every once in a while, you'll get asked and it'll be okay to tell them the story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, which takes us then to the last part of our guidance. That is, don't justify the means by the ends. And folks, over and over again, we've said that admitting mistakes and apologizing are not signs of weakness, rather signs of strength. There's no need to lie when you made a mistake. Lying to cover up a mistake is the wrong way to go. Instead, what we would recommend you do is admit your mistake and fix it.
Yeah, it's not okay to lie to a customer so you get a bonus, even if you don't benefit directly, but your team makes its numbers. Okay? It's not okay to cheat just to get through HR's engagement survey. Okay? It's not. It's not okay to throw your colleague under a bus so you don't lose a promotion to him. Even if you're justified it by saying you'll be a great manager and I know he'll have been terrible. Folks, if you go down the path of the ends justifies the means, you're going to become a tyrant. And what will happen then is when you get fired, nobody will hire you. There's no end for which breaking your ethical code is worth. There's just none.
Have you ever wondered why smart, capable people all react so differently to the exact same situation? The MT DISC assessment from Manager Tools helps professionals understand behavior, your own and that of others, so that you can communicate effectively and avoid unnecessary conflict. It's practical, work-focused, and immediately useful. Improve how you work with other people by visiting us today at manager-tools.com/DISC. All right, so folks, to wrap it all up, we live in a world that makes ethical compromise sometimes feel reasonable. The pressure is real, the pressure to go along, to look the other way, or to tell yourself it's not a big deal. And it rarely starts with something obviously wrong. It usually starts with something that's small, a detail left out of a report, a concern you didn't raise, a behavior you witnessed and said nothing about. Each individual moment feels justifiable as it's occurring, but the cost of that compromise has a way of compounding quietly over time. That cost shows up in your career, in your organization, and maybe most importantly, in your own sense of who you are.
Yes.
Organizations that tolerate unethical behavior, even quietly, even passively, pay for it eventually. And individuals who bend their values to fit the moment find that over time, the moment has a way of reshaping them. Ethics isn't just a set of rules to follow or a policy to comply with. It's the foundation on which trust is built with your colleagues, with your organization, and it's one that quietly hollows you out.
Yeah. If you succeed monetarily and you become more popular, but your insides are melting, I know people like that. We see people like that. Stories are told about people like that. The journey, it's not the destination that matters, getting rich or getting ahead or being famous or being powerful. It is the steps you take along the way. And if your steps are dark, if your steps are black, you are making the world a worse place. And not only that, you're suggesting that your behavior is making the world a better place because look how much you're winning in it. That's not the answer. It's just like etiquette. The question is, do you behave in a conscious way and respect for other people, even when no one else is around? That's the ethical standard.
That's absolutely it. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks so much for joining us, folks. Join us again next week as we start a new topic. Now, help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.